Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Coming up in this segment here on the Daily Tip, Football Friday continues, and this segment is dedicated to the dogs. Which underdogs will be barking this weekend and who's on upset alert? We'll run down our favorite options in the NFL and college football. But first, Denton, we have to get to Lane Kiffin's motivational corner. He has tweeted out his quote for the day, or his passage of the day, I might say, because this one's a paragraph. I'm not going to read it all, but this is what Lane has selected for November 21st on a Friday. It says, day 228, how do you figure out what you really want? You imagine a life that would be too good to be true, and then you take note of the elements, the themes. Are you surrounded by others? Are you quiet? Are you hopeful or healing or resting? Are you adventuring? Are you in your wild? And it asks, are you, about 15 other times. And it ends by saying this: make a map of that life and live it now. Live it here. So what are we reading into this passage today?
All right. So if I were to, get the pen out and do some highlighting, I'd highlight the first little question. How do you figure out what you really want? That's a question that we're all asking you, Lane Kiffin, so you need to give us the answer to that one. I'd look at the end, make a map of that life, and live it now. Live it here. Well, where's here? I could think of three cities that could potentially be here. I could think of Baton Rouge. I think of Oxford, Mississippi. I can think of Gainesville, Florida. There's a lot there, Chelsea. And then on top of that, and like literally on top of the passage, it says day 228. It's funny because yesterday we read day 225. Now, I'm not a math major. Mm-hmm. My father was. But I am smart enough to know that in a 24-hour cycle, you don't go through 3 days. So 225 to 228, what was said in 226 or 227 that maybe wasn't up to snuff with what can be shared on social media? Or do we go back into yesterday's Easter egg that 225 is the area code of Baton Rouge? And he just really wanted to make sure that he got that one out there as he's rumored for the LSU job. And then I saw something on social media. Now, I haven't validated this, but I saw something on social media that his daughter was at a Boosters event in Baton Rouge yesterday. That's odd. I mean, she's dating Whit Weeks, so maybe there's something there. But I found that to be a little odd. And we got information yesterday, alleged, that Lane Kiffin is meeting with the athletic director at Ole Miss today to discuss, I would presume, the future. Maybe they're talking about their weekend plans and their Thanksgiving plans. I would guess they've already talked about that. I mean, if you're talking to your boss about your Thanksgiving plans, you know, 4 days before Thanksgiving, you're way behind the curve. You got to, help your boss out a little bit. But my guess is that there's going to be a really big conversation with at least one pen readily available and likely a contract that is going to be readily available. And Lane Kiffin will have the decision. Does he want to sign that contract? Does he not want to sign that contract? A lot going on in Oxford. This is probably the most attention that we have ever paid to the state of Mississippi over a prolonged period of time, literally ever.
I thought you were going to say this is probably the most thinking that's gone on in the state of Mississippi for a second.
That could be accurate,
listen,
too.
I've seen the public school rankings, and Mississippi is never towards the top. They're always like one of the states that Tennessee is like hanging their hat on beating. They're like, hey, We're not great at public schooling, but at least we're not Mississippi or Alabama. We're beating them at least.
I do think, though, that Mike Leach did the Battle Royale thing when he was at Mississippi State, or he did a version. So I'm sure they probably thought a little bit in the state with that.
Ah, and it took a college football head coach for them to do so. Like, not an academic, even though one would argue that Mike Leach was both. But at the end of the day, like, it's very easy for us to read this and roll our eyes. But I've heard from many people who are, like, closer to the situation than I am, that it's not all about money for Lane Kiffin. So let me ask you, do you think he's really sitting down and thinking about this? Because if it's not about money, and if it's about, like, his quality of life and where he really wants to be in life, maybe he is sitting and pondering these big questions.
I think I would assume that he is. And I would also encourage, like, if you have a big decision, the caliber that Lane Kiffin has in whatever you do in life, sit down and think about it as well. Like, you don't need to be firing from the hip when making a big decision like this. But the frustration lies in the fact that he is now, like, he is doing this. He tweeted at Rhett Lashley when he was, I presume, in Dallas recruiting, but he was at a private airport in Dallas. That was literally yesterday. Like, so the Twitter Lane Kiffin, he knows what he's doing. I do wonder, if you're looking for quality of life, I've never been to Oxford, Mississippi. I would imagine that a $10 million contract goes pretty well in Oxford, Mississippi. You can get a nice house. You can get a pool if you want to get a pool. You can get a hot yoga studio. I know he's very big into hot yoga. Like, you can make the dollar go really far in Oxford, Mississippi. And you're in the SEC. I think you look at one of the frustrations that I have always had, Chelsea, since I have jumped into the space of college football, is this idea that you can win at place X, but not place Y. And this is a great example, because LSU, we know that you can win at LSU. Florida won with Urban Meyer, but that was 20 years ago now. So what is it about Florida that makes anyone think that they can win and recruit and do all the things that you need to better there, but you can't do that at Ole Miss when Lane Kiffin has spent the last few years running circles around Florida in all of those things? And you have financial backing from your organization because, again, you're in the SEC. So, like, I've always been very confused by, like, you can win here, but you can't win here. If you were really good, you could win anywhere. Nick Saban has showed that. Urban Meyer showed that. Like, he was winning big-time games at Utah. We think of Utah highly now because Kyle Whittingham has done a really good job since taking over. But Urban Meyer lifted that program to the forefront because he was doing all of the things that he needed to do when he was winning. You look at Kurt Cignetti in Indiana. He is winning at Indiana because he's going about things the right way. So I don't know that Lane Kiffin needs to leave somewhere to go win. All you got to do is get your current place of employment to maybe make a few changes, but I don't even know what changes you would need to make other than just, hey, I want a little bit more money for this. Hey, I want maybe a little bit better facilities here. You know, you got to constantly re-up your facilities in college football. I'm also very frustrated, Chelsea, that Ole Miss is not playing this week, because this would be gambling gold if they were playing. Even if they were playing a layup game, which they didn't have, they're not a part of layup week, but even if they were playing a layup game, we could find some, like, unique angles as to how we wanted to bet an Ole Miss versus, you know, Mississippi Southern University. I don't know if that's a real thing or not, but just a team that they're paying millions of dollars to beat up on. So the fact that he's doing all of this when they're not actually playing really frustrates me as we talk gambling on the show.
Ah. Right. But I do think Florida has some things, like, so it sounds to me like you think Ole Miss to Florida is a lateral move, correct? Like, am
I would
I
say
picking that up correctly?
Florida is a better job nationally, but I don't think it's a big enough job to justify doing this.
Right. Because I think, like, that's the question I'd ask myself. But we know Lane Kiffin has sentimental ties to Florida with the Steve Spurrier stuff. Maybe Gainesville is better to live in. And here's the other thing that I think maybe Lane Kiffin is stuck on. When else will he get this opportunity to be this hot of a commodity? Like, we know how quickly the game changes in college football. Like, we've been talking about this all week, where it was you know, when Lane Kiffin was at USC, he was fired on the tarmac. Now he's the hottest name in college football. So I do think that he is taking this decision very, you know, being very mindful about it, because, like, he's probably not going to have another chance to be the hottest name in college football, because, like, who knows what happens down the road. And also, like, some of these other coaches just signed extensions, so they just took themselves out of the conversation. So I do think if he's thinking, hey, my ultimate goal is to get to Florida, this might be my only chance.
I heard a rumor. Now, this is not confirmed, but I heard a rumor that there's a job that he desperately wants, and that job is not open. Now, I could connect the dots and think that that is likely Alabama, but Alabama's not open. So I don't know. Like, maybe I just don't understand his, or don't fully comprehend his love for Steve Spurrier, but I don't know why that would make you want to coach football at Florida, because it feels like you would immediately, especially if we know the story about why he wears the visor and he has his love for Steve Spurrier, it immediately puts you in the shadow of him when you go coach there. So I don't know that he would be, I don't know that he would want to do that. Where at the very least, if you care about legacy, I don't know if Lane Kiffin cares about legacy. Sometimes I think coaches lie to us when they talk about legacy. They're like, I don't care about it. I think a lot of them do. When you care about legacy, he could go down as the best coach to ever coach at Ole Miss, ever. Like right now, I would say, you know, just off the top of my head, you know, Hugh Freeze had some really good years there. You could probably go way back in the way back machine in the 80s, 70s, 60s, whatever, and find a coach that had a lot of success there when college football was formatted in a drastically different way. But he has an opportunity to be the greatest coach ever at a program and then lead them for the next 10-ish so years. Because you look around right now, Chelsea, and there's not a lot of, like, really great coaches in college football. Like, if we're talking the best coaches, you know, we're talking Kirby Smart, we're talking Ryan Day, and then, like, who's next in that list?
Cignetti.
In terms of people that you... Yeah, Cignetti. But he's only done it for 2 years at this level, and he hasn't won a championship. Right. So, like, there's a lot of openings to potentially join that echelon, where, as for years, it was Saban, and then Dabo was in there for a little bit, but there was a big, big gap, because you knew that that was the best. I think Lane Kiffin has an opportunity at Ole Miss to do some really, really special things. And I also, and I know I'm pontificating here, but I also would be really bummed if a coach that is going to coach in the college football playoff leaves his team to not coach in the college football playoff. Like, that would be a debt for someone that loves college football. And I've always thought in the back of my mind that that would be the one thing that nobody would do, because it's a championship and it's a quest for a championship. And if you look at Ole Miss, like, they have a good enough team to justify, you know, running the table potentially. It would really bum me out if he leaves to go coach somewhere else, especially if that money isn't, like, drastically different. You know, if it's doubling his salary and, hey, we got 20 for you, hey, go take the $20 million. Like, that is what it is. But if the salary's only going up, like, $500,000, which is a lot to regular people, but to coaches, it's really not, I'd be really bummed if he does that.
Lane Kiffin wouldn't disappoint a fan base. Now, would he? Don't ask Tennessee fans that question. All right, so we got deep in the rabbit hole of Lane Kiffin, and it's very easy to. Like, I said to myself, oh, we'll read this quote, and we'll talk about it for a second, and then we'll get to our underdogs. So we only have a couple minutes left in this segment. So Florida was one of my dogs that I do think are going to be barking, just because we talked about this last segment. Tennessee 0-10 on the road against Florida in the last 10 matchups. So, like, that's the stat that I'm keying in on there. But then I did want to ask you about this game, because Texas is laying 9 points against Arkansas. And I think a lot of people look at Texas and they're like, oh, yeah, they're in the thick of it for the college football playoff. Arkansas, eh. But this used to be a rivalry game. Like, these two teams used to be in the same conference. This is a 9-point spread. And my biggest question is this. Do we fully trust Texas now? Or are we still a little iffy? Because I don't find myself looking at Texas and be like, that's a team I can believe in.
I'm way more iffy. Way more iffy. It would be a completely different story if they played really hard against Georgia and it was late into the game, and then fourth quarter, Georgia just took over. We knew that game was over by the time we got to halftime. They just did not have it. Offensively, they leave a lot to be desired, and Arkansas is not a good team, but it does feel like Texas is the kind of team that plays down They don't play up to the opponents, but they play down to the opponents. So that number being a two-score number with what we've seen, mathematically, you could still maybe argue that Texas is alive in the college football playoff. I think if they beat Texas A&M next week, that's going to make the committee make a really tough decision on some of the final spots. But I do think there's a chance that they stumble a little bit. Not taking an L, but they stumble a little bit against Arkansas and don't look nearly as impressive as this number suggests.
Right. I just feel like the market is still a little too high on Texas. Like a 9-point spread here for an Arkansas team, which I understand they're not winning games, but they've kept a lot of them close. Like they lost to LSU 23-22, lost to Mississippi State 38-35, and they lost to Texas A&M 45-42. So like they've proved that they can keep it close. So like 9 points is a lot to me.
Yeah, and I cannot in good conscience lay 9 with a Texas offense that looks like this Texas offense against an SEC school. Sam Houston State, maybe. Arkansas, I can't do it.
Yeah, I think Texas still needs to prove something to me, which is wild as we stand with only 2 games left in the regular season. What a season for Texas. Ooh, a roller coaster of emotions. All right, coming up next here on the show, time for our parlays. Parlay Central comes your way next on The Daily Show.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Coming up in this segment here on the Daily Tip, Football Friday continues, and this segment is dedicated to the dogs. Which underdogs will be barking this weekend, and who's on upset alert? We'll run down our favorite options in the NFL and college football. But first, Denton Day in for Jenks. But first, Denton, we have to get to Lane Kiffin's Motivational Corner. He has tweeted out his quote for the day, or his passage of the day, I might say, because this one's a paragraph. I'm not going to read it all, but this is what Lane has selected for November 21st on a Friday. It says, day 228, how do you figure out what you really want? You imagine a life that would be too good to be true, and then you take note of the elements, the themes. Are you surrounded by others? Are you quiet? Are you hopeful or healing or resting? Are you adventuring? Are you in your wild? And it asks, are you, about 15 other times. And it ends by saying this: make a map of that life and live it now. Live it here. So what are we reading into this passage today?
All right. So if I were to, get the pen out and do some highlighting, I'd highlight the first little question. How do you figure out what you really want? That's a question that we're all asking you, Lane Kiffin, so you need to give us the answer to that one. I'd look at the end, make a map of that life, and live it now. Live it here. Well, where's here? I could think of 3 cities that could potentially be here. I could think of Baton Rouge. I think of Oxford, Mississippi. I could think of Gainesville, Florida. There's a lot there, Chelsea. And then on top of that, like literally on top of the passage, it says day 228. It's funny because yesterday We read day 225. Now, I'm not a math major. Mm. My father was. But I am smart enough to know that in a 24-hour cycle, you don't go through 3 days. So 225 to 228, what was said in 226 or 227 that maybe wasn't up to snuff with what can be shared on social media? Or do we go back into yesterday's Easter egg that 225 is the area code of Baton Rouge? And he just really wanted to make sure that he got that one out there as he's rumored for the LSU job. And then I saw something on social media. Now, I haven't validated this, but I saw something on social media that his daughter was at a Boosters event in Baton Rouge yesterday. That's odd. I mean, she's dating Whit Weeks, so maybe there's, you know, there's something there. But I found that to be a little odd. And we got information yesterday, alleged, that Lane Kiffin is meeting with the athletic director at Ole Miss today to discuss, I would presume, the future. Maybe they're talking about their weekend plans and their Thanksgiving plans. I would guess they've already talked about that. I mean, if you're talking to your boss about your Thanksgiving plans, you're 4 days before Thanksgiving, you're way behind the curve. You got to, you know, help your boss out a little bit. But my guess is that there's going to be a really big conversation with at least one pen readily available and likely a contract that is going to be readily available. And Lane Kiffin will have the decision. Does he want to sign that contract? Does he not want to sign that contract? A lot going on in Oxford. This is probably the most attention that we have ever paid to the state of Mississippi over a prolonged period of time, literally ever.
I thought you were going to say this is probably the most thinking that's gone on in the state of Mississippi for a second.
That could be accurate,
listen,
too.
I've seen the public school rankings, and Mississippi is never towards the top. They're always like one of the states that Tennessee is like hanging their hat on beating. They're like, hey, we're not great at public schooling, but at least we're not Mississippi or Alabama. We're beating them at least.
I do think, though, that Mike Leach did the Battle Royale thing when he was at Mississippi State, or he did a version. So I'm sure they probably thought a little bit in the state with that.
And it took a college football head coach for them to do so. Like, not an academic, even though one would argue that Mike Leach was both. But at the end of the day, like, it's very easy for us to read this and roll our eyes. But I've heard from many people who are, like, closer to the situation than I am that it's not all about money for Lane Kiffin. So let me ask you, do you think he's really sitting down and thinking about this? Because if it's not about money, and if it's about like his quality of life and where he really wants to be in life, maybe he is sitting and pondering these big questions.
I think I would assume that he is. And I would also encourage, like, if you have a big decision, the caliber that Lane Kiffin has in whatever you do in life, sit down and think about it as well. Like, you don't need to be firing from the hip when making a big decision like this. But the frustration lies in the fact that he is now, like, he is doing this. He tweeted at Rhett Lashley when he was, I presume, in Dallas recruiting, but he was at a private airport in Dallas. That was literally yesterday. Like, so the Twitter Lane Kiffin, he knows what he's doing. I do wonder, if you're looking for quality of life, I've never been to Oxford, Mississippi. I would imagine that a $10 million contract goes pretty well in Oxford, Mississippi. You can get a nice house. You can get a pool. If you want to get a pool, you can get a hot yoga studio. I know he's very big into hot yoga. Like, you can make the dollar go really far in Oxford, Mississippi. And you're in the SEC. And I think you look at one of the frustrations that I have always had, Chelsea, since I have jumped into the space of college football, is this idea that you can win at place X, but not place Y. And this is a great example, because LSU, we know that you can win at LSU. Florida won with Urban Meyer, but that was 20 years ago now. So what is it about Florida that makes anyone think that they can win and recruit and do all the things that you need to better there, but you can't do that at Ole Miss when Lane Kiffin has spent the last few years running circles around Florida in all of those things? And you have financial backing from your organization, because again, you're in the SEC. So, like, I've always been very confused by, like, you can win here, but you can't win here. If you were really good, you could win anywhere. Nick Saban has showed that. Urban Meyer showed that. Like, he was winning big-time games at Utah. We think of Utah highly now because Kyle Whittingham has done a really good job since taking over. But Urban Meyer lifted that program to the forefront because he was doing all of the things that he needed to do when he was winning. You look at Kurt Cignetti in Indiana. He is winning at Indiana because he's going about things the right way. So I don't know that Lane Kiffin needs to leave somewhere to go win. All you got to do is get your current place of employment to maybe make a few changes, but I don't even know what changes you would need to make other than just, hey, I want a little bit more money for this. Hey, I want maybe a little bit better facilities here. You know, you got to constantly re-up your facilities in college football. I'm also very frustrated, Chelsea, that Ole Miss is not playing this week, because this would be gambling gold if they were playing. Even if they were playing a layup game, which they didn't have, they're not a part of layup week, but even if they were playing a layup game, we could find some like unique angles as to how we wanted to bet an Ole Miss versus, you know, Mississippi Southern University. I don't know if that's a real thing or not, but just a team that they're paying millions of dollars to beat up on. So the fact that he's doing all of this when they're not actually playing really frustrates me as we talk gambling on the show.
Ah, right. But I do think Florida has some things. Like, so it sounds to me like you think Ole Miss to Florida is a lateral move, correct? Like,
I would say that Florida is a better job nationally, but I don't think it's a big enough job to justify doing this.
Right. Because I think, like, that's the question I'd ask myself. But we know Lane Kiffin has sentimental ties to Florida with the Steve Spurrier stuff. Maybe Gainesville is better to live in. And here's the other thing that I think maybe Lane Kiffin is stuck on. When else will he get this opportunity to be this hot of a commodity? Like, we know how quickly the game changes in college football. Like, we've been talking about this all week where it was, you know, when Lane Kiffin was at USC, he was fired on the tarmac. Now he's the hottest name in college football. So I do think that he is taking this decision very, you know, being very mindful about it, because, like, he's probably not going to have another chance to be the hottest name in college football, because, like, who knows what happens down the road. And also, like, some of these other coaches just signed extensions, so they just took themselves out of the conversation. So I do think if he's thinking, hey, my ultimate goal is to get to Florida, this might be my only chance.
I heard a rumor. Now, this is not confirmed, but I heard a rumor that there's a job that he desperately wants, and that job is not open. Now, I could connect the dots and think that that is likely Alabama, but Alabama is not open. So I don't know. Like, maybe I just don't understand his, or don't fully comprehend his love for Steve Spurrier, but I don't know why that would make you want to coach football at Florida, because it feels like you would immediately, especially if we know the story about why he wears the visor and he has his love for Steve Spurrier, it immediately puts you in the shadow of him when you go coach there. So I don't know that he would want to do that. Where at the very least, if you care about legacy, I don't know if Lane Kiffin cares about legacy. Sometimes I think coaches lie to us when they talk about legacy. They're like, I don't care about it. I think a lot of them do. When you care about legacy, he could go down as the best coach to ever coach at Ole Miss, ever. Like, right now, I would say, you know, just off the top of my head, you know, Hugh Freeze had some really good years there. You could probably go way back in the way back machine in the 80s, 70s, 60s, whatever, and find a coach that had a lot of success there when college football was formatted in a drastically different way. But he has an opportunity to be the greatest coach ever at a program and then lead them for the next 10-ish so years, because you look around right now, Chelsea, and there's not a lot of, like, really great coaches in college football. Like, if we're talking the best coaches, you know, we're talking Kirby Smart, we're talking Ryan Day, and then, like, who's next in that list?
Cignetti.
In terms of people that you... Yeah, Cignetti, but he's only done it for 2 years at this level, and he hasn't won a championship. Right. So, like, there's a lot of openings to potentially join that echelon, where, as for years, it was Saban, and then Dabo was in there for a little bit, but there was a big, big gap, because you knew that that was the best. I think Lane Kiffin has an opportunity at Ole Miss to do some really, really special things. And I also, and I know I'm pontificating here, but I also would be really bummed if a coach that is going to coach in the college football playoff leaves his team to not coach in the college football playoff. Like, that would be a debt for someone that loves college football. And I've always thought in the back of my mind that that would be the one thing that nobody would do, because it's a championship and it's a quest for a championship. And if you look at Ole Miss, like, they have a good enough team to justify, you know, running the table potentially. It would really bum me out if he leaves to go coach somewhere else, especially if that money isn't, like, drastically different. You know, if they're doubling his salary and, hey, we got 20 for you, hey, go take the 20 million. Like, that is what it is. But if the salary's only going up, like, $500,000, which is a lot to regular people, but to coaches, it's really not. I'd be really bummed if he does that.
Lane Kiffin wouldn't disappoint a fan base. Now, would he? Don't ask Tennessee fans that question. All right, so we got deep in the rabbit hole of Lane Kiffin, and it's very easy to. Like, I said to myself, oh, we'll read this quote, and we'll talk about it for a second, and then we'll get to our underdogs. So we only have a couple minutes left in this segment. So Florida was one of my dogs that I do think are going to be barking, just because we talked about this last segment. Tennessee 0-10 on the road against Florida in the last 10 matchups. So, like, that's the stat that I'm keying in on there. But then I did want to ask you about this game, because Texas is laying 9 points against Arkansas. And I think a lot of people look at Texas and they're like, oh, yeah, they're in the thick of it for the college football playoff. Arkansas, eh. But this used to be a rivalry game. Like, these two teams used to be in the same conference. This is a 9-point spread. And my biggest question is this. Do we fully trust Texas now? Or are we still a little iffy? Because I don't find myself looking at Texas and be like, that's a team I can believe in.
I'm way more iffy. Way more iffy. It would be a completely different story if they played really hard against Georgia. And it was late into the game, and then fourth quarter, Georgia just took over. We knew that game was over by the time we got to halftime. They just did not have it. Offensively, they leave a lot to be desired. And Arkansas is not a good team, but it does feel like Texas is the kind of team that plays down. They don't play up to the opponents, but they play down to the opponents. So that number being a two-score number with what we've seen, mathematically, you could still maybe argue that Texas is alive in the college football playoff. I think if they beat Texas A&M next week, that's going to make the committee make a really tough decision on some of the final spots. But I do think there's a chance that they stumble a little bit. Not taking an L, but they stumble a little bit against Arkansas and don't look nearly as impressive as this number suggests.
Right. I just feel like the market is still a little too high on Texas. Like, a 9-point spread here for an Arkansas team, which I understand they're not winning games, but they've kept a lot of them close. Like, they lost to LSU 23-22, lost to Mississippi State 38-35, and they lost to Texas A&M 45-42. So, like, they've proved that they can keep it close. So, like, 9 points is a lot to me.
Yeah, and I cannot in good conscience lay 9 with a Texas offense that looks like this Texas offense against an SEC school. Sam Houston State, maybe. Arkansas, I can't do it.
Yeah, I think Texas still needs to prove something to me, which is wild as we stand with only 2 games left in the regular season. What a season for Texas. Ooh, a roller coaster of emotions. All right, coming up next here on the show, time for our parlays. Parlay Central comes your way next on The Daily Show.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Baby, because life is too short not to play parlays. Like, we pontificate a lot on the show about parlays are minus EV and you shouldn't be, you know, putting the bankroll on parlays. But listen, like, every weekend if you want to do a parlay, it's fine. Just do not put the mortgage on it. And it can be a fun way to bet on things, so it's fine. So as I'm adding this together, here's the other wild thing about parlays is sometimes, like, books will be weird about what you can parlay. So that's what I'm running into right now, where MGM's like, are you sure? We don't think we can do that bet. So as I tinker with this and parlay this, Den, can you think off the top of your head about the best parlay you've hit this year? Because I feel like when people hit a parlay, it's one of those core memories that they will not hesitate to tell you about on a moment's notice, even sometimes when you don't ask about it.
I hit one a couple weeks ago. That is true, by the way. I hit one a couple weeks ago when the Lions were playing the Commanders, and I had taken the approach of, if my defense is going to impact me and my week mentally, they might as well line my pockets. So I had a nice parlay of Jahmyr Gibbs over 75 yards rushing, Jahmyr Gibbs anytime touchdown, Jameson Williams over 44.5 yards receiving, Jameson Williams anytime touchdown. All that hit, paid 9-1. It was glorious. I was like, all right, I'm not even that mad. I was like cheering, you know, sitting upstairs, you know, doing the pregame, halftime, postgame show situation that I do locally. I was like sitting there cheering. I was running around because I was making money. My team was getting just curb stomped, but I was making money in the process. So I was like, this is a big time win for your boy.
Yeah. And I think that was like a good game to do a same game parlay on, is that because the high scoring games, I feel like, especially if you like player props or anytime touchdowns, those are the ones to load up. Like, do not make a huge same game parlay on a game that has a total of 36. And as I'm looking at this, I'm like, wow, we might have two plays in the Browns and Raiders, but one of those is the under. And then, to your dismay, I've had to take off the interception one for Shedeur Sanders, because like BetMGM is like changing the number on that or something.
That's probably why it was giving you a fit too, because like, hey, we can't do a big parlay with two in the same game. It has to be same game parlay situations. So that was probably what was giving you a fit.
Yeah, so I've been tinkering with that. This is the most like tech work that I've done in a long time, and for good reason, because I'm not normally very good at it. All right, so I think I finally have it all set and, you know, ready to roll. So let's get to it. It's our squad parlay. We have a sounder here, I think. Where we did. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, adults of all ages, it's time for the show parlay.
There we go. Step right up and try your hand. It's a big plus money. So we did things a little differently this week because, listen, we haven't been winning these, so I am trying something different where I'm going with some plays that I like, but dumbed down a little bit. So I'm doing alt numbers because some of these plays I've been playing in the squad parlay have not been hitting. So I'm going to start us off with a couple legs here. We've talked about fading the Bears a lot on this show, and I do think regression is looming for a team that somehow is 7-3, winning all these close games against bad teams. But I think the Steelers can at least keep it within a touchdown because Bears, you know, have not been blowing out people. It's been all these close games. So even if it is Mason Rudolph, I'm going to go Steelers +7. That is the first leg for me. Then we're going to follow it up with Travion Henderson to score a touchdown. It's -190 by itself, but you combine those two and it is palatable. And plus, we have a bunch of other legs. Travion Henderson has been an absolute threat in the red zone. Even if Ramondre Stevenson comes back, he's the guy in the red zone. And plus, they play the Bengals this week, who are one of the worst teams against the run and one of the teams that are giving up the most rushing touchdowns of any team in the NFL. So Travion Henderson feels like a solid play. All right, Denton, let's go to you next. What are your contributions to this week's squad parlay?
So I have two at the moment. I'm going to add a third one. You know, I've had to call an audible with the Shedeur Sanders thing just to make sure, you know, we can make this thing work. My first one is going to be an A.J. Brown anytime touchdown +170. I want to get some positive juice into the mix. A.J. Brown is very unhappy, and it does feel like we are approaching the territory where Nick Sirianni's mindset is just going to be, here, take it. We're at the goal line. Take the football so you will finally shut up. when it comes to somebody asking you how you feel about the offense. So I think A.J. Brown, especially against Dallas, too, rivalry game, get up for it. And this would kind of cement them, by the way. Not that there's any question of it, but if they beat Dallas, they win the division. Not mathematically, there's still like some weird stuff there, but if they're 9-2 and the second place team is Dallas, who has a tie in there already, and at that point it would be 6 losses, they win the division. So there's extra emphasis on this one. I'm giving A.J. Brown a touchdown plus 170.
It does feel like when the Eagles throw the ball, it's to A.J. Brown or Devonta Smith. So like, I feel like that's a pretty good option. Okay, did you say there was a second leg you wanted to add? Can you throw it out so I can start searching for it?
So I'm also keeping track of this. So if you don't want to do the tech duties, okay, I can handle the tech duties. I'm going to go Jahmyr Gibbs over 75.5 yards rushing. They're playing the Giants. The Giants are not a very good team. I think Detroit is going to be really kicking their face in. And because of that, I think they'll run the football a lot. Jahmyr Gibbs is dynamic as hell. So I'm going to go Jahmyr Gibbs over 75 rushing yards at minus 110.
Ah, it should be noted that is 75 plus. So if it lands plus, exactly on 75, you still win your bet. So I wanted to clarify that because it is important for, as somebody who continues to lose bets by the hook, important clarification. All right, so the rest of our team here, Dan likes the Colts plus 3.5. Dan, do you want to come on and talk about it? You certainly don't have to because I think Denton will probably go against you because I know he likes the Chiefs. So can you give us briefly why you like the Colts here? Yeah, at some point it feels like the torch is going to be passed. And like, here's the other thing. Like I said this about last game is that if you look at numbers and you're like, oh, well, like this is such a good trend. You looked at the Chiefs coming off a bye. They were 22-3 straight up. Like there was a good reason to believe that the Chiefs were going to win that game against the Broncos. And they just didn't. So at some point the magic is going to run out. Okay, so it's Kenny, right? That's we have a rotation going here. So Kenny, I think, do you have a pick for us?
Kenny's
I don't see anything.
Yeah, by the way, I like
I'll
Dan's play.
A pick or two.
I like it.
Okay, Kenny.
Yeah, I think the Colts might be the right side if you're getting the hook. But I do think the Chiefs win the game, so that's a tough one there. I actually was going to give out a Chiefs touchdown. It's kind of a negative correlation if you're putting the Colts in a parlay. But I think Rashee Rice gets back in the end zone this week. He's plus money at plus 115. They've been using him a lot. At the goal line, too, as a rusher. And obviously, he can catch a touchdown. He's their number one receiver. So I like that at plus money, plus 115. Rashee Rice.
Okay, so we started this parlay by thinking, okay, I'm going to go conservative here. Now we're up to 81-1. So maybe we need to stop with the legs. But here's what we have so far. Okay, so I'll read the legs out to you guys. Steelers plus 7 over the Bears. Just hoping for regression looming for the Bears. Travion Henderson to score a touchdown for the Patriots against the Bengals. Maryland plus 14 against Michigan. A.J. Brown to score a touchdown. Colts plus 3.5. And Rashee Rice to score a touchdown. Jahmyr Gibbs to rush for at least 75 yards. And there you have it. That is 81-1, my friends.
We have your under 36.
I couldn't put it in.
Oh, so
are we gonna?
It works for me.
I'm not doing 36 though. I wanted to do 41, and then the technical work got out of control for me, so I gave up.
All right, 81-1. Let me see if I can put it in at 41 real quick, because the number that I had that might hurt us a little bit. Come on, BetMGM. Let me parlay a bunch of these alt lines. That's you said you wanted 41.
Well, like, still. Okay, at what point do you stop building a parlay? Because, like, we could go on forever. But, like, the more legs you add, there is a reason the odds get dramatically longer. Like, we're at 81-1. Is that not good enough for you, Denton?
I wanted more. I want a chain, Chelsea. I got Christmas gifts to buy. If we do put in, you're under 41.5. It is plus... 10,381. So we're 113-1.
So do you want to do that? I feel like we should kick it out. I feel like there is a reason that it like spit it out. I'm kind of superstitious. I don't know if you're like that, but I'm like, oh, there's a reason that it didn't let me put that in. So let's leave it out. And like, who wants to sweat an under? So let's not do that. We'll keep it at 81-1.
Keep it
81-1. So let me... What's the biggest sabotage factor here? Not to put people on the spot. What's the one that you're most worried about? Like, I look at the Steelers, I'm like, all right, their defense is bad. Maybe the Bears surprise me, and I've been a Bears hater, and they're standing here at 7-3. Anytime touchdowns can be tricky sometimes, we've covered that. Is it the Colts? Like, is this the biggest one where you say, okay, there is a chance that the Chiefs return back to form and they look like the Chiefs team that they should have looked like all season long?
No, I think it's AJ Brown. Because they can, Philadelphia has proved to this point, they're 8-2. They don't need him to score. And maybe they're just, maybe they go the opposite. Like, I'm thinking they're going to be like, we're tired of you complaining. We want to make you happy. It's going to be easier for everyone. Maybe they just go the complete opposite. And Jalen Hurts throws only to Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. And A.J. Brown doesn't get catches. And then he's throwing a fit on the sideline. And maybe he pulls an Antonio Brown. So I think the A.J. Brown thing is the biggest sabotage factor.
Well, I just think touchdown bets in general, especially for receivers, like A.J. Brown could have a 100-plus receiving yard day and still not get in the end zone. Do you get what I'm saying? Especially when you have a team that's very good at the tush push. Like, if they're on the one-yard line, they're not throwing the ball. So I think that's the biggest sabotage factor, especially for an Eagles offense that has not been great at scoring touchdowns. So if there's not that many touchdowns in the game, like by probability, that pie is kind of small. So we'll see, but it's 81-1. And listen, the holidays are right around the corner. We need this, Santa. Just give us this parlay. All right, coming up next, our biggest takeaways from the Bills' loss and a defensive showdown against the Texans. It's next on Hour 3 of the Daily Tip.
That 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.